Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome into quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Penn State football beat writer Greg Pickle. Greg, I want to talk to you this segment about the elite programs, or to be more precise, the next level, the teams that would like to get to that point where Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson already are. I mean, we know in the college football landscape, there's those three teams and everybody else. And first off, I've got to admit to plagiarism here. I'm stealing this idea from a question that Stuart Mandel, national college football writer for The Athletic, fielded last week, and it really fascinated me. And he put his next level of teams, the question was shaped in this way: after that big three, who else is there? Who's most likely to win a national championship beyond those three? He listed five teams. I want to just throw that question out to you on a national basis. After the big three, who's next in line?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, it's going to be a challenge for anyone to steal the thunder away from those teams on a consistent basis, Jim. They're just so good. When you look at the recruiting rankings year in and year out, especially this year, I mean, it's just such a dominant force that it just makes it really hard to get into that upper echelon. So, you know, this year, Jim, and I did read the piece. I don't have it memorized, but to me, I mean, when you look at who's on the outside looking in, starting with the Big Ten, you know, the winner of that Wisconsin-Penn State game enters that conversation immediately in 2021. I'm not saying that they both aren't in it right away, but, you know, obviously one is going to have a much, much tougher path to the title game and to the title team and then into the college football playoff conversation than the other, based on how that opener goes. So, you know, they're going to have to likely be perfect the rest of the way. So, you know, I think that you start with those two teams with the realization that one of them is going to be even further outside the circle, so to speak, once that contest concludes in Madison in week one. So, you know, and then looking around the rest of the country, I think you go right to the SEC then with LSU, Texas A&M, and Georgia. Again, teams that could beat up on each other or have opponents beat up on them, and that will impact things. But they're in that conversation. And then Oklahoma, you know, I think is probably the fourth or fifth choice in the betting market right now in terms of who could win a national title this year behind Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. So, yeah, to me, it's those three, and then there's a drop for sure before everybody else. And I think last I saw, Jim, Penn State was like, I don't know, 30 or 40 to 1 to win the college football playoff this year, which to me, I think you would need at least 80 to 1 to put that bet in. But, you know, time will tell. Obviously, Penn State, if it answers all of its questions in a way that is beneficial to it, then it's going to really like where things stand. And if not, then obviously it's going to be in a little bit worse shape.
I believe, Greg, when you look at the teams that can contend and be part of the question, there's a couple variables. One is, what conference do they play in? And if you play in a conference that doesn't have Alabama, Ohio State, or Clemson, and those teams are Oklahoma in the Big 12, so they've got a pretty easy path to get to the playoffs, along with the reputation since they've been there several times that helps them with recruiting. And probably Oregon in the Pac-12 and their recent recruiting kind of makes them the premier program in that conference. After that, you're talking about Southeast Conference teams who their edge, specifically Georgia, is if there's a team that recruits up there with the Alabamas and Clemsons and Ohio States, it's Georgia. So all the other teams, say, in the ACC or the Big Ten, as you mentioned, Penn State and Wisconsin, they have that extra hurdle of having to get past the monster that is Clemson or Ohio State.
Right. And so, you know, that is always going to be the challenge. And then, you know, again, I just want to go back to, I had a chance to pull them up while you were talking, Joe. I want to go back to the recruiting ranking conversation. And I get, look, it's not an end-all, be-all. It's not a, you know, it's not saying that a team can't come off the beaten path, even if it's not at the top of that, you know, recruiting rankings list, and make a run a year or two down the road. We saw Clemson obviously steadily build itself up. We saw Penn State get to that point, you know, get to that point prior to, you know, prior to the 2016 Big Ten title game run. But it certainly isn't easy. And, I mean, you look at it right now, Penn State's in the top 10. That's good. But Rutgers, can you believe Rutgers, Jim, is number 6 in the country with 11 commits? I mean, that obviously will change. Penn State's spot in the rankings will probably change. But what's not going to change is that you have Ohio State and Georgia at number 1 and number 2 in the country with 11 and 12 commitments respectively and 6 5 stars between the two of them. Ohio State has 4 and Georgia 2. You know, Alabama's a little bit further down the list right now. They have just 5 commits, but excuse me, 2 of them are 5-star recruits and the other 3 are of course 4 stars, and they will add to that tally big time. You know, again, the thing you have to remember this year is that those rankings are going to be a little bit of a catch-up game this year because kids are waiting to decide until after they can take visits. So those rankings will flip on their head really in a lot of ways by the end of the summer, start of August, middle August. So we'll keep that in mind as well. But I mean, yeah, there are teams that have been recruiting well enough to catch that group, Jim, but you have to not only do it consistently, you have to do it consistently for a number of cycles, and then you have to actually develop those guys. You know, again, I think one of the things that, and you could feel free to disagree, but I think one of the things that hurts Penn State fans so much, Jim, is that 2018 class and how promising that looked versus what it turned out to actually be. You know, we did our recruiting re-ranking, whatever you want to call it, a couple of weeks ago, and that class certainly did not play out like many thought it would, and that's the kind of thing you can't have happen if you want to vault yourself into that upper elite group.
Well, that leads to the easiest way to become one of these elite teams is to bring in many, many elite players. And if you pay attention to the recruiting rankings, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson have been doing that. For example, we talked earlier about Drew Aller being a top 100 player, and that quarterback, that's something new for James Franklin at Penn State. Meanwhile, Ohio State has 3 guys all with freshman eligibility who meet that criteria. And guess what? Next year, they're bringing in the number 1 ranked quarterback in the country. So that's what you're up against. So the question becomes, how do you become one of those guys? And is Clemson the example to use? When Clemson started the Dabo Sweeney era, they were not one of these elite teams. And they got to elite before they recruited elite. They steadily improved. Penn State appeared to be on that path with recruiting, but it appears that it peaked in 2018. Did Penn State lose that window of opportunity to keep that steady progress where winning leads to better recruiting then leads to more winning, and so on?
I would make the argument, Jim, what do you think? I'd make the argument that we'll know the answer to that question after this season. So if Mike Yurcich's offense and Sean Clifford's improvement and you know, the return of guys like Jaquan Brisker, Jahan Dotson, Tariq Castro Fields, in addition to some of these younger guys who can make an impact, like Parker Washington, like Joey Porter Jr., like the not necessarily younger guys, but the new guys, transfers, Arnold Ebiketie, John Lovett, Johnny Dixon, Derek Tangelo. I would make the argument that if they can't put it together this year, then yes, that window is closed. I think this is the time where you have to do 10-2, 11-1, at absolute worst, 9-3, but then win a convincing bowl game and remind kids that you can play a fun style of offense like the one you did on the way to the 2016 Big Ten title game. You can develop guys like Saquon Barkley, like Mike Gesicki, and send them off to the NFL. Obviously, Micah Parsons, Jason Awe, others will be an example of that this year. Pat Freiermuth, Shaka Toney, and so on and so forth. So I think you have to, you know, I think this is your year here because you have to do a couple of different things. One, you have to be able to get people to forget about your 0-5, you know, your start last year, your 0-5 start. You have to get that out of their mind. You have to be able to show them that, look, this was a weird pandemic thing, and you know, that's not who we are. That's not who we're going to be starting this season. So to me, The window's obviously creeped shut a little bit in the last 2 years, but this is the year where it's kind of, I hate to use the phrase make or break because I hate it, but I do think that this could be it. And if this isn't the year they're 10-2, 11-1, 9-3, then, you know, when do they get back to that point is going to be the question.
You asked if I would agree with that, and I do, but I'll go even more specific where over the we were talking about as a program, winning gets better recruiting gets more wins, and you can look at that over a 5-6-7 year cycle. I think this year is the microcosm of that because they're coming off the losing season so that they have to show that they could win on the field. They're also coming off of a couple down years in recruiting, and they're off to a very promising start on the recruiting front. And what we have is just that microcosm of this 1 year where they better show it on the field to right. guarantee the recruiting class stays together or even gets better. And they need this recruiting class to show that they are an elite place for players to go to and they can recruit with the big boys.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. Again, how many times have we seen, Jim, a situation where, you know, Penn State gets off to a super hot start in a cycle and then doesn't necessarily finish the job either because it loses out on some of the guys that had committed or it doesn't land some of the big name guys that were left on the board. You know, we've seen that happen far too many times in far too many cycles during the James Franklin era. So, yeah, this is the one where you are in a tremendous spot early, and you have a chance to be an elite company later if you can close the deal on some of these guys, and that's going to be the challenge Penn State has over the next handful of months, starting with when the visits start again.
Obviously, Greg, the easiest answer to all this is you recruit better. You bring in better players. But drilling down to that in the last minute or so that we have, how important is the program-changing quarterback to this whole process?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Again, you look at the teams across the Big Ten and country who get a quarterback in that is a transfer, that is a big-name recruit, and guess what? If that guy lives up to his billing, if that guy lives up to his potential, you know, you are going to go somewhere special in all likelihood because he's going to mask a lot of your problems, just like it's very hard to mask the problems of a lesser quarterback, no matter how good your school guys are, because that guy runs the show, as we all know. So, yeah, that is the key. You know, I think of Oklahoma with Spencer Rattler. I think of, you know, a team like Michigan who has its five-star quarterback now, and his name escapes me, JJ something, I think. But, you know,
McCarthy,
he's a guy.
Is it?
That's it. Yep. You know, he's a guy who will start this year. So that's their opportunity to kind of change the game. So, yeah, there's no question that that plays as big a role as any.
And does Penn State have that quarterback either on the roster or is he coming in this 2022 class? That's a question for another day. Let's get ready for quarter number three and ask Greg.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.